Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show alongside Carlos Ortiz. We've got a one plan for you today. Is it a good one? Is it a bad one? It's for sure a one. It is a show. Hopefully it's good. You can be the judge of that. And get up to the plate and execute. I got to get up there with my new torpedo bat. Don't think I'm not talking about that today, as the Yankees use this new bowling pin to crush the Brewers. Yeah, I think it like helped. But also, the Brewers are very bad. Oh, they are bad. I don't know if they're going to be 45-win White Sox bad, but this is a bad team. Not to lead the show off with the Brewers, but I am leading the show off to tell you that this week is Bart's baseball bonanza, as I took in the home opener today at American Family Field, in which the Brewers lost to the Royals 11-1. They had just come off a 12-3 loss to the Yankees. They had just come off a 20-9 loss to the Yankees. They had just come off a 4-2 loss to the Yankees. That was the high point of the season at this point.
Ew!
It's very bad. I'm going to go to another. There's a day game on Wednesday I'm going to get to. And then on Friday, Carlos and I are going to meet up in Chicago and go to the Cubs home opener.
Whoa.
Chicago is about 90-minute drive from me with without the traffic. And so I'm going to get there and somehow meet up with Carlos, and we're going to enjoy the game. And then I will make the drive back, and then I will do the show. So it's three baseball games in 3 days. I've been to one so far, and I'm already pretty exhausted. The home opener can take a lot out of you, especially when they're very bad. The Brewers did air a Bob Uecker tribute beforehand, which was very emotional. And so that's kind of like resonating with me. Looked around the ballpark and you never saw so many people like trying not to cry at the same time, but very sad as we lost him in January, the longtime announcer, and of course, so many other walks of life that he was able to excel in and entertain in. But that's it. It's Brewers baseball bonanza week, or Bart's baseball bonanza. Two games for the Brewers for me, and one game for the Cubs. Are you excited, Carlos, to hang out?
It'll be very interesting because I only know you as a disembodied voice and a once in a while occasion on my phone screen. I think we get along pretty well. I don't think it'll be weird at all. But no. There is just that, there is just that 1% of like, all right, who is this person?
No, it's not that weird. We talk and we hang out every night.
That is true.
We talk all the time.
Via voice.
Yeah.
I do talk to you more than most people now.
Well, yeah, but that, that will fade away whenever one of us has a new job.
Might be pretty soon. This economy, who knows?
Well, there's so many people where it's like, oh man, I talk to this guy all the time. Is this guy my best friend? And then he leaves the company or I leave a company and then I realize I haven't talked to him in 9 years. So either way, we're going to make Friday count. What do you want to do? What do you want to do for the initial, do you want a hug?
Oh, I didn't even think that far. Okay. God, we actually have to do something, right? Like,
we gotta just do it like a slappy and a huggy.
Sure, that works for me.
Like a quick.
The quick one, like, The over-under should be 2.5 seconds, yeah. and I'm putting the under on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine. And if I'm hugging too long, feel free to sock me right in the face. that'll be fine.
So, I think it'd be the shorter, the under 2.5 to start when I meet you, and then over when we depart, I think will be better. Because at that point, we'll have shared a Cubs home open experience, mm-hmm. and preferably one of us would have knocked back a couple of pops, and I don't mean soda.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely me. You know, mm-hmm. All the suspense is out the window there.
It's a work day for me, a school night.
For sure. I'll try to do some work too, but most likely not. So over 2.5 in the hug when we depart. And hopefully it's not the first and last time, not grand opening, grand closing.
Okay, yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it. I hate to say this as a Brewers fan, but I think I'm driving down to Chicago just to see some good baseball because I ain't seeing it up here.
Well, then you're wasting your time. They're 2-4, the Cubs are.
They are. Well, have they given up 43 runs in the last three games?
No, that's pretty pathetic, and I'm very happy as a Cubs fan.
An interesting start to the season. Again, the season is a long season, so how much do you read into this? Although, we talked about it the last time we talked, and we followed them through the weekend, and the Dodgers are still undefeated. So they've got a series with the Braves, who have not won yet. That is going to start in about 10 minutes. But the Dodgers are 5-0. Now, there's a couple of quirky things happening there. The Braves are going to be without Jurickson Profar. It's an 80-game ban for a PED violation. This would knock him out for half of the season and then the playoffs. He can't participate in. And then Freddie Freeman got hurt following a shower mishap. When he was getting out of the shower, he tweaked his ankle, is what they are telling us. So a couple people that you may have thought would be in the lineup tonight, not in the lineup in that game, which gets underway in a little bit. A game we're keeping an eye on right now, UConn and USC in the Elite Eight for the women's tournament. As USC, Juju Watkins got hurt early on in this thing. This was a big matchup. We were going to see her matched up against Paige Beckers for UConn. And right now, UConn is they're going to go into halftime. UConn has a 39-25 lead. So USC has been able to rally, win a couple games. They beat Kansas State the other night. Continuing on here, trying to get to a Final Four without Watkins, but they're running up against the UConn team, which is giving them all that they can handle for right now. Texas is in. Texas beat TCU tonight, 58-47. You also saw South Carolina beat Duke on Sunday. Close game there, 54-50. And UCLA beat LSU. So in the women's bracket, a one seed, a one seed, a one seed, and most likely a two seed only because, well, not only because, but heavily because and partly because, or fill in the blank because, of an injury to Juju Watkins. Now, in the men's side, we are going to see all number one seeds. And once again, I am mad at myself because there is not a strong enough connection to the things that I tell you on air and then the things I do with my money. For instance, the Eagles with a blowout. Well, yeah, they did blow them out, but I got a little greedy on that. Went minus 19. They only won by 18. The 49ers not making the playoffs. Yeah, did not do anything with that. Last year when they had like 4 wins, I said the Pistons are going to make the playoffs next year. I kept my money in my pocket there. And then this year, I told you, this is going to be chalk. This college basketball tournament for the men's, it's going to be chalk. And it is. We're going to have number one seed Auburn against number one seed Florida. We're going to have number one seed Duke against number one seed Houston. So I thought it'd be chalk. I told you it would be chalk. And yet, my Final Four had Clemson, lost to McNeese. I think I had Texas Tech in there for some reason. I don't know what the hell I was doing. So I'm mad about that. And a lot of people are mad about this tournament, brackets be damned, because it's not been an exciting tournament. So we talked about this a little bit last week in terms of how these things start. These tournaments, day one and day two, you know, you might take off or you might be able to watch a bunch of games. Even if you can't take off, you can watch some games at work or, you know, your teacher turns it on at school or they roll out the TV. They used to do that for us. Or you can watch some games at night or get together with somebody or watch it alone or whatever. But there's a lot of games on and you're looking for upsets. That's the thrilling thing that we want is upsets. But then as the tournament gets further, you're not really interested in watching Colorado State in the Elite Eight. You'd rather see the big-time matchups. So we did not get the upsets. So we were hoping for some of these big-time matchups. And, you know, some of these games, we've had games that have been good. We certainly have had games that have been good. Maryland last-second shot against Colorado State. The game in overtime between Texas Tech and Arkansas. We got a game between... Ole Miss and Michigan State was pretty decent. There's been good games. Houston and Purdue came down to 2 points. There's been some decent games, but there hasn't been like classic games. Florida came back a little bit against Texas Tech. That was a good one. But Houston beat Tennessee by 19 to get to the Final Four. Duke beat Alabama by 20. And these are 1-2 matchups to get to the Final Four. So we did not get the upsets, and then we're not getting some of the big-time matchups to deliver in terms of entertainment. We're getting 4 number one seeds for the first time since 2008. That was Kansas, Memphis, North Carolina, and UCLA. But could we finally get the good basketball starting Saturday? Starting Saturday. So KenPom, I don't really understand how he puts his ratings together, but it's the KenPom ratings. You may have heard of them. They use them when it comes to the bracket unveiling. But either way, I'm going to give them to you as if these are the definitive college basketball ratings since 1996 and 1997. So there's a rating system that has rated teams for the last 30 years, all right? And they give them a value. The best team in this last 30 years was the 98-99 Duke team with a plus 43 in the KenPom ratings. So that's what you need to know. Duke, 99, best team ever. All four Final Four teams for this year's Final Four are in the top 10 of the all-time, since 96 when it started, KenPom ratings. They are a combined 135-16, and they are all in the top 10 of a rating system that has been used for 30 years in college basketball. Duke is number 2. Houston is number 6. Florida is number 8. And Auburn is number 10. So we are hopefully going to get some big-time matchups coming up this weekend, or at least the entertaining games. Because we have got big-time matchups. We're getting the top seeds against each other, but we are not getting, you know how I always say, we always want every game to be the best game ever. Certainly that is not happening. This tournament is not the best tournament ever. This tournament will not be remembered as the best tournament ever. This tournament will probably be remembered for being a not great tournament. But this is a tournament that now possibly has the chance with these games coming up in the Final Four. If these two are classics, and then you get a classic next Monday night in the championship game, well, then we might remember it a little bit differently. We do want these games to be entertaining. We do want them to be exciting. We do want them to come down to the buzzer. We haven't gotten a lot of that in this tournament, which is one of the reasons why it's become as big as it is. I mean, it's called March Madness. That's literally what they put on the floor of these gyms. It's not called like March some games are dece. March, I don't know. That was entertaining enough. March, it was better than watching the Brewers. So that's where we're at coming into this weekend. So in the women's tournament, 101-101 has advanced, and then it looks like, unless USC can put together something in that locker room, it's going to be another, well, it'd be a 2, so 1-1-1-2. And then on the men's side, it's a 1-1-1-1. So it hasn't been the tournament that a lot of people have wanted. It was the tournament I told you it would be, but I didn't do anything with it except for tell you after the fact that I knew it, but really I did nothing with it. This is the Bart Winkler Show. We come to you on the Infinity Sports Network. Plenty more to discuss throughout the night tonight, including that torpedo bat that the Yankees have been using. Obviously mixed feelings on it for me since, one, I saw it beat the hell out of my baseball team, the Brewers, and two, that seems pretty innovative. I can't say that I really have an issue with it. Coaches talking down in the coaches meeting. We may get some league changes this week in terms of rules, including the tush push. We could see that coming up. And also the over-under totals have come out in the NFL. Want to take a look at that at some point this evening. This is the Bart Winkler Show. We are on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll come on right back, and we will discuss a little bit more of the chaotic things that happened over the weekend that I missed Friday, so I did not get a chance to get to, including a very shocking dismissal that actually makes a lot of sense when you start to look into it. That coming up, this is the Bart Winkler Show.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. Great to be with you tonight. I am Bart Winkler. Carlos Ortiz alongside. Hey, you can join the program via your telephone. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number to reach us. 888-710-4476. And get in on the show throughout the evening. We have been discussing the tournament, both tournaments, men's tournament and the women's tournament. You've got a game going on right now between UConn and USC again. USC losing Juju Watkins early on in this thing, which really dashed their title hopes and dashed what was going to be this great matchup between her and USC and then Paige Beckers and UConn. Obviously, there are other players, but those were the two marquee names. Those are the names that have kind of been the next generation or the next torch carriers of the women's game after Caitlin Clark moved on to the WNBA. Paige Beckers will go to the WNBA. That was announced over the weekend. She was telling ESPN analyst Rebecca Lobo that she will enter the 2025 WNBA draft. There were rumors that she did not want to play for the Dallas Wings. They've got the number one overall pick, but she says, no, I'm going. I will be in the WNBA draft. There was a little bit of a shakeup because then the player projected at number two, Olivia Miles out of Notre Dame, she is telling Shams at ESPN, or sources are anyway, that she's not going to do the draft and she's going to enter the transfer portal. So Beckers is going to get to the WNBA, and Miles is going to stay in college and potentially try to make more money via an NIL deal, as that's been one of the stories and question marks about, can you actually make more money right now in college on the women's side than you can professionally? with endorsements and other things. We'll find out. But there is a lot of money in NIL, as you've got a lot of these alums and sponsors and, you know, people involved in the university and the program that want the program to win, and they are willing to pay money to do it. You see that on the men's side. You see that in college football. I mean, I'm sure it's spread to some of these other sports, although not as significantly. But if you want to go to college and you're good, you can make some money. And it looks like that is something that is continuing to happen and will continue to happen, but may have affected the decision for Olivia Miles out of Notre Dame. Because, again, she's not just not entering the draft. She will also then enter the transfer portal. Professionally, there was a pretty massive move on Friday when Taylor Jenkins was fired from the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, coaches getting fired at this time of the season is not that crazy, but when you're 44-29 and there's like 2 weeks to go before the playoffs, it's a little different. It's a little different. Jenkins has had a lot of success in Memphis. Last year was tough, losing John Morant. They only won 27 games, but they had won 51 games. Prior to that, 56 games. Prior to that, they made the playoffs in a shortened year with 38 wins. But they have not advanced out of the first round but the one time where they lost in the conference semis in 21 and 22. So this was a firing that on the surface doesn't make a lot of sense. But maybe long term, this was a move that the Grizzlies were going to make anyway. And why not try to salvage this season instead of have another early playoff exit, which is what I think it seems like they were anticipating, at least in that locker room and potentially with the brass. So another sign that this was possible was Jenkins' assistant staff in the offseason was fired. And the Grizzlies basically hired a new one, including the now interim coach, Tuomas Esolo, who has been coaching for a while in Europe and has had a lot of success there, winning Euro Cup last year with Paris, winning the Champions League with Telekom Baskets Bonn. I'm just saying words here, but he has had success in Europe coaching professionally, and this is a style of basketball that the Grizzlies have been excited about. They brought him in as an assistant, and now they're giving him the at least interim coaching job with, it would seem likely, the chance for the head coaching job. Their style is based on pace. They like to take a lot of threes, and they're very good rebounding the ball offensively. If there's any team that sounds like that comes, you know, to mind, it's the Celtics, and the Celtics actually beat the Grizzlies tonight, 117-103. So 44-31 right now are the Grizzlies. They took 44 threes, but the Celtics took 62. Al Horford took, what, 13 threes tonight. All right. Al Horford, still doing it. So they recently installed him. They put in a new motion offense. The offense has been working. They have improved. They were 11th a couple of years ago. They're up to 6th right now. Ja Morant, not totally in love with the offense. Trying to work that out. The Grizzlies are a team right now that they're like a good-bad team or a bad-good team or however you want to say it. They can beat the bad teams, but not so much the good teams. They actually haven't beaten a team to the firing since that was over 500 since February 2nd. That was against the Bucks. So they are struggling. So it seems like this guy, this Isalo guy, is going to get the job. It might depend on how the Grizzlies do in the playoffs, although certainly when you make a move like this and you've already hired this guy and you have good feelings about the guy and good thinkings about the guy, you may go ahead and try to retain that guy. Now, they haven't won since. They have now lost 3 games in a row. Their last loss or their last win coming to the Jazz. They lost to the Lakers. They lost to the Thunder. They lost to the Celtics. They've got the Warriors coming up tomorrow. So what are they going to look like in the playoffs? Well, they think they're going to look at least a little better than they did when they had Taylor Jenkins. And that's what they're going to try to figure out here
again starting on, well, starting right now.
The Thunder right now, currently the number one seed in the West. They would take on one of these teams in the Timberwolves, Clippers, Mavericks, Kings. They're all kind of fighting for the play-in. The Suns just out on the outside of that. They got a road trip coming up. No Kevin Durant. So that's going to be something they have to deal with. But the Rockets right now, the two, and then the Nuggets and Warriors as of right now would be the 3-6. But this is all very fluid and very changing. These teams are going from 5 to 6 to 7 to 8. It's all a mess right now in a good way because it's competitive. The Lakers would be the 4 seed, and they would take on the Grizzlies, who would be the 5 seed at this point. So that is what you have in the world of the NBA, where the Grizzlies surprisingly fired Taylor Jenkins and then have not won a game since, but that was a surprise that we got on Friday. One of the coaches that we've been wondering where they are going to coach, how long they're going to coach at their current spot, has an extension, and that was Deion Sanders in college football. It's a 5-year, $54 million contract extension running through 2029, which completely changes a lot of the conversation regarding what we think is going to happen with Shedeur Sanders and potentially the Dallas Cowboys, who we've all kind of thought at some point would find a way and bring in Deion and, you know, maybe Shedeur at some point. And maybe that happens in 5 years. But Deion's salary is going to increase to $10 million. He becomes the highest paid football coach in the Big 12, among the top 10 highest paid football coaches in the country. His salary will increase about $1 million each of the next couple of years. He has had success there, certainly, just in terms of making this program something. But they had a winning record last year, made a bowl game, did lose to BYU, and now we're going to see what he can do with without his kid at quarterback and also without Travis Hunter, who is expected to be a top five pick. This should be interesting because Deion has cultivated this team where players do want to play there for him, but in the first offseason that he had, it was a lot of transfers coming in and not so much a lot of the recruits. So we'll see if we get like a different kind of all-star collection of guys each and every year or if he's going to be able to do a good job on the recruiting trail. I have been saying that I think Deion stays in college. I know it's very an attractive possibility that he could coach his son at some point again in the pros. But I think if you look at what he can have in college, where he can have pretty much say over anything, I mean, you get to be the coach, you get to be the GM, you get to be the team president, you get to totally make the team in your image. Had he gone to the Cowboys, you know, Jerry might say, oh, you can have this, you can have this, but eventually you can't. And there's more of a cushion. There's more of a safety net. There's more of a sense of job security, I think, at the college game. Now, maybe Deion doesn't coach there through 2029. Maybe he goes somewhere else. Maybe Florida State comes calling or wherever. And, you know, we'll see what the buyout situation is. There's always that you got to factor in. But I do think Deion stays in the college game. Eventually, he could go pro. I mean, we've seen, you know, some of these guys go pro at some point. Nick Saban went pro. I think Les Miles went pro. Did Les Miles go pro? No, what the hell am I thinking? Who am I thinking of? Chip Kelly, maybe?
Nick Saban.
Les Miles did coach for 2 years as a tight end coach in Dallas. So I'm right. But who am I thinking of?
Nick Saban.
Nick Saban. Yeah. But there's another one.
Disaster in Miami.
Urban Meyer. That's who I'm thinking of.
Speaking of disasters.
Yeah, so some of these guys do go pro eventually. So just some news over the weekend to get to coming up. Want to look at some of the NFL over-unders. Want to talk some more NBA. Want to talk some more baseball. Want to talk about these bats. Marco Belletti's here. Marco.
Hello, Bart.
So the bat story's interesting for you and me, as I am a Brewers fan and you are a Yankees fan.
Correct.
And the two teams played this weekend, and the Yankees' bats look a little different. Now, I don't think it was totally why the Yankees scored so many runs that they did, and we'll break that down in a little bit because I think the Brewers are actually quite bad, at least what I've seen through four games. Do Yankees fans, or do we just kind of like know these are legal in every way because they're ours? Is there a weird like, okay, yeah, this is great, but also this is weird? Is it, you know, Eureka, finally someone figured out? What's been the reaction for you guys?
I think it's been surprised because this has been going on for a couple of years, but nobody actually knew about it. And the Yankees have just kind of explained it to all of us because apparently this was going all over Major League Baseball. So there's shock. And there's also, hey, look, the analytic department's doing something right. You actually get paid to figure this stuff out because it's really clever and it's inside the rules. So I'm a little confused as to why everyone's up in arms. And I'm a little confused as to why everybody doesn't realize there's only like two guys in the lineup that are actually using it. And I'm a little surprised by that. Because it seems like a lot of guys are hesitant to even go this way. Which I don't know if you knew that.
Well, the guys that did use it were cranking home runs against the Brewers.
They were, so, but Aaron Judge torched them, and he doesn't use one.
That is true. But he could probably go up there with a broomstick.
Probably.
A literal broomstick.
Probably.
And be just fine. Was this a story coming in? Did people know about it? Or was it like, oh my God, what is this?
Look, maybe I'm behind the curve on this, but no, I don't think so. Michael Kay on the S Network, the Yankee announcer, was talking about it, and everybody seemed to follow suit with that, and it was like, huh, is that why they look different? Is that what's going on? Nobody seemed to know, but it has been around Major League Baseball. That's the part that I didn't realize until I, you know, dived in a little bit. Apparently, this has been going on for a couple of years. There's teams around the league that have been doing this for a couple of years, and the Yankees have apparently been talking about it, but nobody wanted to do it. They've said that we've learned this technology. If you want to go by, because it's not just that the barrel of the bat is in a different spot. It's predicated on where you hit the ball more. So there's really like a lot of analytics. You seem to hit the ball on this part of the bat more often than not. Okay, so let's make that part of the bat. So everything is specified to the individual player. So this has been going on a lot of places, and I'm a little surprised that everybody's been a little slow to really kind of get on board because it makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Well, I'm a little surprised that you told me the Yankees' offense was bad, and then on Saturday they put up 20 runs, and then on Sunday they put up another 12.
Well, part of that part is the Brewers stink, and Nestor Cortez, I thank you very much, but the Yankee offense, look, is not as good as everybody seems to think it is. I realize the 20 runs and the home runs, and that's great, but they are also one 2-week stint from a 37-year-old first baseman who's trying to rekindle his career from being down to like the fifth guy. I mean, Ben Rice torched you. That's on you. I mean, you hope the kid's going to be a good player, but the kid's been there for 10 minutes. You know, like they have a hole at third base. Oh, those guys hit the Brewers. There's holes in the lineup up and down. If Goldschmidt gets hurt for a little bit, if Aaron Judge goes down for 3 weeks, the season's over. Like they're razor thin with their ability to be able to hit, to score runs. And it's going to be a problem that's going to resurface over 162. Can they score in bunches at times? Of course they can. At Yankee Stadium, that gets helped out too. Over 162, this offense is half of what it was last year.
Yeah, Nestor Cortez was very bad. He threw three pitches and gave up three home runs to start that game. And then, like, he wasn't available after the game because he was in the Yankees clubhouse, like, saying hi to his old teammates. And I've seen this happen before. So Nestor Cortez, longtime Yankee, got traded. Devin Williams, so that happened this offseason. The Brewers a couple of years ago, remember Colton Wong had a long career in St. Louis?
Yep.
And then they didn't want him back, so he signed a contract with the Brewers. And the whole time he was here right away, it was like, oh, you know, I miss St. Louis. I remember St. Louis. It was basically like when you get to college and you talk about high school for the first 2 weeks and you realize nobody cares. It's like, okay, you were the star quarterback, but also your school had your town had 700 total people in it. Nobody cares. You're in college now. And then we played the Cardinals one time and Wong was like tickling the other infielders and the whole thing. Like, the Brewers lead the league in the last 5 years in guys who just do not want to be here. So that's fun.
Yeah. What can I tell you? You're the second choice. That's Nestor did not want to go there, and he still doesn't want to be there. I'm more. This is all stuff that he would tell you, I think, openly. Now, should he tell you that in July? Probably not. But the guy, apparently, from the stories, cried when he came back, where he saw, like, you know, the stable. Everything was fine until he got there. And then, like, he broke down, and the players had to console him. The guy doesn't want to leave, and he didn't want to be there. He realized he had it good, and now he's got to, you know, hang out in Wisconsin.
I mean, it's not that bad.
I'd cry, too.
I mean, he lived here. He lived in New York. He lived in the Mecca. He was in the World Series. The guy was willing to trade his rotator cuff for the Yankees to get a ring, and you sent him to Siberia. Like, he's not happy. What do you want me to tell you?
No, not Siberia. The Brewers, come on. They just put in a new sound system at the ballpark, guys.
Oh, really? Do you still have the guy that goes down the sled? Is that... We still do that for home runs?
It's a slide, and his name is Bernie Brewer.
Okay, so Bernie's still there?
Bernie is still there.
Okay.
He's actually got a girlfriend named Bonnie Brewer, and she only comes to select games. She's not a season ticket holder.
It's kind of messed up.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you for your input. We'll talk more about that coming up in a little bit. These bats that have at least been the story, I think, to start the regular season in Major League Baseball, and I think... One of the parts of the story is everyone's kind of like, hey, wait, this is weird. But then also very quickly, why wasn't anything like this done sooner if it was possible to be done sooner? So I'll give you some more details on that and get your thoughts in a little bit. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get an update from Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Thrown behind, but somehow caught. And now lateral to Allen and reaching for the pylon. Are you kidding me? It's a touchdown. Unbelievable.
The biggest voices in sports.
I have to look in the mirror and I'm right. I have to be a better owner.
The heartbreak.
This team has nothing to be ashamed of. As you mentioned, yeah, they're disappointed. But they have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of.
The celebrations.
It's over. The Philadelphia Eagles have won Super Bowl 59. They have beaten the Kansas City Chiefs 40-22. It's their second Super Bowl win in 7 years.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
Damn straight, and I have a pep in my step to do this Bulletin Blitz on the Bart Winkler Show. It is Monday, March 31st, 2025, and it's my second-to-last Bulletin Blitz of the week. Thank you, God. I mean, I am so sorry, Bart, that I'm going to be leaving early. I won't let it happen again. I don't.
Normally, you're supposed to be like, yeah, I got a vacation, no big deal, it's all right, but thank you, God.
Wow. I don't get much time off.
All right. Well, enjoy it.
My dedication to the show knows no bounds, except when it comes to the Cubs home opener. Let's start off with women's college basketball, because Kim Mulkey does not take solace in losing, nor should she, I guess. But she roasts a reporter when she's asked the question following their elimination of the women's college basketball tournament.
Jaden Smith, KLSU Sports. Coach, it's the second straight year you guys get eliminated in the Elite Eight. Yeah.
Is that terrible or
is that good?
Terrible. How many Final Fours you play in?
None.
So it's probably pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
It's so lame.
Agreed.
I was just in a media room today, and like, I didn't ask a question. But the whole process of asking a question is. You're worried what the answer is going to be. You don't want to look dumb. You're going to be judged by your peers. Like, this guy just wants to ask a question. He goes to the thing. He either has something specific he wants to ask, or he feels like, hey, if I'm here, I should contribute and ask. So he asks something, and then he gets bullied by Kim Mulkey, who I struggle to understand the reason for why she is the way that she is. What's with the meanness? What's with the embattledness? What's with the costumes? What's with the falling out with players? Why? I'm not quite understanding why Kim Mulkey is allowed to be Kim Mulkey. I mean, she's won before, so all right. That's it. You just win a few times. You can do whatever you want. You know what? I guess so. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry I even asked. I've never played in a Final Four myself. So do I even get an opinion on the matter? I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Madam Mulkey.
Yeah, Mulkey. Seriously. It's not only Mulkey. That she won. Remember, she's opinionated and she's fashionable. So, of course, we must lay down and rejoice.
God, so lame.
Agreed. That's why I let off Wilton Blitz with it. All right, let's go over the weekend. How about a nice fight in the NBA if you're into that kind of stuff?
Oh,
Pistons
yeah.
and Wolves. Five players, two coaches were ejected, and the Timberwolves 123-104 over to the Detroit Pistons. Here's head coach J.B. Bickerstaff for the Pistons. Says he appreciates how the team sticks up for each other.
You regret, obviously, where all of it took place. That's not something you ever want to see happen. But, again, I thought our guys stood their ground and defended each other and had each other's back. And those are non-negotiables in our locker room, is that you stand your ground and you defend one another and have each other's backs.
Quite the exchange. They went into the crowd in terms of they fell into the crowd. They didn't, like, fight people into the crowd. But the initial altercation, and they said it was kind of brewing over the previous few possessions, but Ron Holland for Detroit, like, he fouled Naz Reid of the Timberwolves, but it wasn't anything that, I don't know, you watch it initially and you're like, okay, Naz seems mad. And then all of a sudden, Dante DiVincenzo comes in there. He's like, everything that's ever bothered me in my life, every transgression, I am ready to throw down and take it out on you. It was intense. Seven different players and coaches getting ejected in this one.
Yeah, it's funny with Dante. He's probably just still upset that he got traded from the Knicks to begin with, along with Julius Randle.
And then they made a commercial out of it.
Or his teammate Rudy Gobert says he's proud that the Wolves didn't back down after all.
I think it's human nature, for sure. I think sometimes, you know, when something like that happens, it either makes you or breaks you. And for us, it was something that, you know, gave us a little boost of energy. And all the guys that came in also did a great job stepping it up for our team.
So Wolves won the game 123-104. We'll see if it can propel them in any way. They're currently the seventh seed, which would put them in the play-in tournament, which it would put them against the Clippers right now. It's going to be tough. The Warriors sniffing around there, the Grizzlies. So anything you can use to get out of that play-in initially, you try to find a way to use it if you can.
Yep, yeah, definitely. And let's wrap up the Blitz here with Mike Tomlin. They talked over the weekend about Aaron Rodgers potentially joining the Steelers, but he says he's comfortable with the quarterback room being unsettled this time of the year.
I'm really comfortable with being unsettled this time of year, to be quite honest with you. It's about talent acquisition. We got two main means of acquiring talent, free agency in the draft. We multitask. We do both. Those needs that we fulfill in free agency, we do so there, and when we don't, we fulfill it in the draft.
He should be comfortable because Aaron Rodgers is still going to join this team. It's just not going to be until the summer. I initially said August. I may move that up to July. But also, they very well may draft a quarterback. And I want to talk a little bit about that because it seems like every team that's possibly going to draft one is downplaying it. I'm not buying it. That and the Yankees bats coming up.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.